Now, if you wanted a copy of that map which I put on the board this morning, there are copies at the back. I don't think there's enough to go around, but if you wanted to take one, it's a rough copy. So don't vouch for its accuracy, but there are copies at the back. And if you have the other one which showed the campaigns, then remember that there's a mistake in it that the Southern campaign didn't go to Gath in the first instance, and so you need to alter the line there. Well now, we're into chapter 21. So we're almost there. So I don't think you believed me yesterday when I said we would get there. Of course, we did cheat a bit in the middle. But I knew I was going to do that anyway because I knew that wouldn't be referring to too much of the distribution of the land. Well, it's fortress. Yeah, fortress. I think I'm right there. I'm doing that from memory now. Rejoicing, that's right. Sorry, it was the last one, I was rejoicing. Yeah, I got the wrong one there. Okay, chapter 21, please. And we're not going to read too much in chapter 21, but we've dealt with the inheritance of, at least we've passed the inheritance of most of the tribes. What has not yet been given, though the cities of refuge have been given, is what is to be given to the Levites. So we're going to read about the Levites now in chapter 21. And we don't want to read too many verses here because a lot of it deals with the cities and so on that they're going to be given. So let's read from verse 1 of chapter 21. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and to Joshua the son of Nun. Notice they come unto Eleazar because he was responsible for the lot, which makes it questionable when the sons of Joseph came earlier to Joshua only. Then came near the heads of the fathers unto the Levites unto Eleazar the priest and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers of the tribes, the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh, that's where the tabernacle was, in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof, for our cattle, after the grasslands around them. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance, at the commandment of the Lord, whose cities, these cities and their suburbs. And Lot came out to the family of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest. Aaron's family belonged to the section of the tribe called the Kohathites, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah, out of the tribe of Simeon, out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. The rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Dan, and out of the half tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. So you'll notice that first of all, it is the section of Kohath who have their first division, and of those, particularly first of all, Aaron and his family, or family of Aaron, the priestly family. Verse 6, and the children of Gershon had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, out of the tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. The children of Merari by their families had out of the tribe of Reuben, out of the tribe of Gad, and out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. The children of Israel gave by lot unto the Levites these cities with their suburbs, as the Lord had commanded them. Then as you go down through the passage, you will find that there is an elaboration of this, and the names of the cities are then given. Well, you can read that yourself and find out the details of that, but it's a long list of names, and I won't bore you by reading that. You'll notice here, of course, and I ought to say this to my younger brethren, perhaps, that there are three divisions here of the tribe of the Levites. And you have the mention, for instance, first of all, where it speaks of the Kohathites. So there were Kohathites in the verse 4, and the family of Aaron was amongst the Kohathites. And then you'll notice that there was another lot in verse 6. There were the Gershonites, verse 6. And then verse 7, there were the Maraites. And you have there the three groupings of the tribe of Levi. And they were all dedicated to service of the temple, of the tabernacle rather, and they all had their part in the wilderness days and responsibilities concerning the tabernacle. And just to say something about that, basically the Kohathites, during their wanderings, what they did was they carried the sacred vessels, the ark, the table of showbread, the lampstand, the altar of incense and burnt offering. These were the things, the responsibilities of the Kohathites. Kohathites were the section from which the priests came, priests being only the family of Aaron. And then there were the Gershonites. Incidentally, the word Gershon means a stranger. And their function was to carry the tabernacle and its coverings in their wanderings. And they carried the curtains and the hangings and the coverings and the pillars of the hangings and the implements therewith. And these things, of course, all speak of the Christ's character. And that's what makes the Christian a stranger, which is what Gershon means. That's what makes the Christian a stranger in the world, walking in the manifestation of the character of Christ, and he is a stranger. But the work also anticipated, the work also indicated anticipation, because they carried the curtains and the coverings, and God dwelling in curtains and in coverings showed that neither God nor the ark had as yet a permanent dwelling, a final resting place, and they were journeying on to that rest which remained. And then there were the Merarites. And these were entrusted with the heavier portions of the tabernacle, the boards and the pillars and the bars. And they had to set up the boards of the tabernacle, for instance, and the pillars of silver. But here were the three groupings then, and now, of course, that sort of function which they had in the wilderness is more or less at an end, because the tabernacle is situated and was for some like 300 years at Shiloh, and would be superseded very soon after that by the temple. But those were their functions in the days of the wanderings. Now, let's now go back to the book of Genesis for a moment, and I want to read a verse in the book of Genesis, because in looking at Levi, I want to pick up this verse. And we're going to look back to Genesis 49. Again, the blessing of the patriarch, and in Genesis 49, verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honour, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Now that's a pretty devastating blessing, because this was Jacob's blessing, and this is what he said about them. Now, how did he come to make those pretty dire statements about these two sons of his? Well, of course, the reason for that takes us back to an earlier chapter of Genesis, and we won't have time to look at it, but it takes us back to Genesis chapter 34. And they've come into the land, and they are in the same area of the same tribe as the Gibeonites belonged to. They were Hivites. When they were there, the tribe of the Hivites Amongst them was a young man called Shechem. And he met Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And in the story, which is very briefly told, he seduced her. He genuinely had fallen in love with this girl. And he and his father come, and he wants to marry her. And a pact is more or less agreement is made between them. And in order that that agreement might be possible, there is one condition which the sons of Jacob lay down, and that is that the men of this tribe be circumcised, which they went back to their people and agreed to. And having done that, when they were still sore, as the scripture says, Levi and Simeon came upon them and slew them. And Jacob's name stank amongst the people of the land, as he said. He never forgave them for that. So they were brothers who worked together, and that's what Jacob refers to. And their history up to that point was one of viciousness and evil and cruelty. And that was one of the first things you hear about these two brethren acting together. And what sin Levi had committed together in union with Simeon was in fact a contradiction or denial of the one command that men had received at that time from the mouth of God, and that command was no one was to take another's life, and it's found in Genesis 9. And that command they had broken. Human life was to be counted sacred because man was made in the image of God. And they took private revenge as if to take the sword out of God's hand and to say that God wasn't careful enough of justice, but a poor guardian of right and wrong in this world, and they destroyed life in a wanton and cruel way amongst these Shechemites. And they did it under religious zeal, under the guise of religious zeal. And that to God was the most hateful of sins. So the first thing we find of Levi is with a sword of murder in his hand. And that's the picture which you've got, and yet here he is, he's the ministers of the sanctuary, and one family is the family of priests from the tribe of Levi. So what is it that made the difference? Because the sword of murder was displaced in Levi's hand by the knife of sacrifice. And what brought it about? Levi's fierce revenge against sin in the case of sin against his sister was converted into hostility against sin, as revealed in the sacrifices which were performed at the altar. As far as Simeon was concerned in that, the curse remained upon him, and he remained scattered in Israel. He was scattered actually in Judah. But Levi was scattered in Israel, but in actual fact became a great uniting factor in Israel, as we will see. In Levi's case, the curse was changed into one of blessing, and it was because of the faithfulness of this tribe at a very critical period in the history of Israel. And for that we'll turn back to Exodus chapter 32, and we'll pick it up there so that we get the connection. Exodus 32 and verse 26. Now, what has happened is that Moses has come down from the mountain, having been up with the Lord 40 days. And when he comes down, he finds there's a tumult in the camp, and what it is the Aaron and Terah have made the golden calf, and the people are worshipping the golden calf. So idolatry has been committed in the camp of Israel. In verse 19 we'll tell us that how angry Moses was when he saw the golden calf. And then in verse 26, it says, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Because thus saith the Lord God of Israel, puts every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate of the camp, slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, every man his neighbor. The children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and fell of the people that day about 3,000 men." And the next verse tells us that Moses said, "Consecrate yourselves today unto the Lord." So, in this very critical period in Israel's history, when they had gone a-warring after a golden calf, it was the sons of Levi who stood true and stood on the Lord's side. And Levi learned his lesson, and his weapons were to be used in the future, only in the service of God and not in vengeance on those who offended him. Now, it had been God's purpose that Israel should be a kingdom of priests, and that you'll find expressed in Exodus chapter 19. It's a purpose which will be achieved in the coming day. But because of the moral frailty and sinfulness of the people, he set aside one tribe for that purpose. And within that tribe, one family. And the consecration of that family, we looked at last year, I think, in the book of Leviticus chapter 8, that consecration of the priests. But the consecration of the tribe, the Levites, as a tribe, you'll find in the book of Numbers. And if you look at chapter 8, you'll find that the references to it there. We won't have time to read it soon, but let me just point out what it says in the book of Numbers, chapter 8, verse 17. "For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast, there I smote every firstborn land of Egypt, I sanctified for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. So, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, making an atonement for the children of Israel," and so on. And then it tells us later, down in the chapter, of their cleansing and their sanctification to that particular function. So, the Levites then were consecrated to the service of the tabernacle, and amongst the Levites, the family of Aaron, were the priests, who were responsible for the sacrifices and so on. And it is these Levites, the tribe, who come now and ask that the promises which God had made concerning their inheritance in the land would now be fulfilled. All the descendants of Jacob are now being provided for. The 2.5 tribes have been provided for earlier. The Judah have been provided for, and Ephraim have been provided for, and the 7.5 tribes remained, had been divided, land had been divided amongst them, and now it was just Levi. And they refer back to Numbers chapter 35. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 35 and see what God has to say there. Numbers 35, verse 2. "Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and they shall give also unto the Levites suburbs, those who are grasslands, for the cities round about them." You notice in verse 6, "Among the cities that you shall give, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which you shall appoint for the manslayer, he may fly thither, and to them he shall add 42 cities." 48 cities then, all together, were to be theirs. So, they refer back to this particular promise of God. You know, it must please God, it must have pleased God on this occasion, to have heard and see his word remembered and obeyed and acted upon. But doesn't it please God every time that he hears his word remembered and obeyed and acted upon? Of course it does. The request wasn't one of avarice, wasn't of greed, wasn't of discontent, it wasn't of covetousness, because if it had been, they wouldn't have come last of all. They would have come before this. So they're quite content to wait until the others have had their portion. It's quite an orderly request that they might now receive what was due to them by divine authority, which God had said was to be theirs. You see, they were making use of God's promises, and they were now claiming what was theirs. And it's the use that we make of God's promises to an extent that determines our spiritual prosperity, as well as the peace and joy of our hearts. You see, the divine promises, after all, are the peculiar treasure of the saints. Every promise, in the book is mine, we used to sing, every scripture, every verse, every line. And those promises are our treasure because the substance of our inheritance is wrapped up in God's promises to us. And the substance of their inheritance was wrapped up in this promise of God that they would have these 48 cities and what else. And so these promises, they come and they plead before Eliezer and before Joshua. It's like us now, in this day, to come and plead, personally appropriate and plead before the throne of grace, those promises which God has made to us. You know, real prayer is making requests for the things which God has pledged to us. And you say he's pledged them to us anyway. Oh yeah, well, so he pledged the cities to these men who didn't stop them coming to make requests. You see, while on the one hand God is pledged to bestow things to us because he's promised us those things, on the other hand we are required to make requests for them so that he in turn might be duly owned and honored, and that we express our dependence upon him. And such inquiry is designed to strengthen our faith and to quicken our hope and to develop our patience. But it's a two-way thing, this, and God's promises are an incentive for us to train them and to ask for them that they may be fulfilled in our lives. Now, cities have been divinely credited to the Levites, but they didn't receive them until they appealed for them on the basis of God's promise to them. Now, every tribe, and we read back in the other scripture, every tribe was given the opportunity of giving cities to the Levites. The numbers of the cities which were to be given in total was in the scripture we read just now, in 35 of Numbers. But those cities were really a gift from these tribes as a great acknowledgement, a grateful acknowledgement of the way in which God had graciously blessed them. So they were sort of returning to God something in response to the way he's blessed them. And what they gave to the Levites was accepted as given to God. Now, we haven't read the chapter, you have to take my word for this, but you can check it out by looking at the map. Well, you won't find all the Levitical cities on the map, because some of them is not quite known exactly where they are. But what we do know is this, that if you get which ones are known, you'll find that the cities of the Levites are scattered throughout the land, even reading the passage will tell you that, and they're scattered throughout the land like a garrison of the Lord, to maintain the people in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. After all, the Levites are to be among the teachers of the nation. And there was something else which was interesting here in the matter of their scattering, and it was this. When we read the first part, it did tell us, it told us, of where the family of Aaron was to have their cities. was to have the cities. And what is interesting is this, that Aaron's family were a family of priests, and all their cities, with the exception of Ain in Simeon, were to be in Judah or Benjamin, concentrated in that one area. And the reason was, and God was already looking ahead to the time when his temple would be there, and the priests would be in that particular area. And so he was dividing up the portions, and already placing the priests near where they would be ministering in a day yet to come. So these Levites were scattered throughout the land. The word Levi means joined. They were separated in Israel, scattered all over the place, but at the same time, they were a sort of unifying factor in Israel, because they were scattered in these tribes, and they were the teachers of the nation. And so in that sense, they were a unifying factor, a joining the tribes together, scattered as widely as possible, to bear witness to the people that they owed allegiance to God. And they were a constant witness of the relationship to God. And so it was then that these Levites were scattered throughout the land, and God anticipated the need, and Jerusalem was the future center. Now, one of the things that you read about the Levites in this section is this. They had no inheritance in Israel. Well, they didn't have an inheritance like the other tribes. But the reason for that is given, explained to us when you read chapter 13. So let's go back to chapter 13 for a moment and just pick up what God is saying to them there. And he said it's a couple of verses here. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 14. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave non-inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. And the book of Leviticus indicates to us what that involves. The sacrifices made by fire are the inheritance. So the meal offering, part of that was for them, after the handful had been thrown on the altar, the shoulder, breast, so the peace offering was theirs, and so on. The offerings given to God, there was provision made for the priest in that. Now look down to verse 33. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. Chapter 14. Again, in the third verse, unto the Levites he gave none inheritance. Among them, that's among the inheritance of 2.5 tribes. But so he goes on to say, he gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs, with their cattle, verse 4, and their substance. So the inheritance of the Levites consisted of the sacrifices, what was their portion of the sacrifices in the temple, tabernacle, based on the temple. Consisted of the suburbs, the grasslands, and the houses in the cities which they were given. And most of all, their inheritance was the Lord, their God. Well, Ephraim may have had a big piece, Judah had a bigger piece, and Reuben's piece wasn't too bad either. But none of them equaled the inheritance of Levi, because Levi's inheritance was the Lord, their God. Let's take a break for a few minutes. Oh, any questions, sir? We might, let's get... Wait a minute, hang on, read up the... Yes, now then.
Like the tribe of Levi, we, when we believe, we become a priest, a kingdom of priests,
yes,
as Revelation says. And as the tribe of Levi, though we are not physically in the land, just as the idea I was getting here is that they didn't get any inheritance, they already got theirs.
Yes.
They could already enjoy their inheritance even though they were not in the land yet.
Yes.
It's like we are not physically with Lord Jesus, yet we still enjoy Him, and He is still our inheritance before we see Him physically.
Yes, please.
What strikes me is how sometimes we've been given an inheritance like Levite. Sometimes we seem to want more of a Judah-type inheritance. We want the material land stuff we can have now, but we've been given all spiritual blessings in Christ.
Yes.
But what we want, health and wealth. I mean, you'll get all these people that are after that, to the exclusion of what God has given us.
Yes. It just reminds you to go back to what our brother told us the other day of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wow, that's an inheritance which you can't compare. So, the Levites have got their inheritance. Who could fathom the depth and the measure of that? So we take 2 minutes break, then, please.
Have an address list. Eli has